Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is a man I very much admire, Chris Churchill, a columnist for the Albany Times Union, whose columns are published on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. Welcome, Chris Churchill.
Oh, thank you very much, Alan. It's good to be here.
So we have a lot to talk about. The thing I love about you is that you are nobody's fool, and you do not just take one automatic side. You always look for perhaps what other people think are bad guys might be thinking here. So let's start with my favorite subject, Governor Andrew Cuomo.
I knew that wouldn't take long.
How's he doing?
Well, that's a pretty broad question. I suppose it depends on who you ask, right? I mean, I'm not a fan. I think you and I share that. I think sometimes when we say that, we talk more about his tactics than the actual policies. But, you know, at the moment, he seems to be going full to the left for trying to position himself for the 2020 presidential race. I think it's hilarious because I don't think he has a snowball's chance in Arizona, but he seems to think otherwise.
So there's no question amongst those of us who have watched his career that he wants to be president. His father couldn't be president. He wants to be president.
Mm-hmm.
But he still has to get through 2018. He has to run for governor one more time. And there he has a small problem. In my opinion, he's dealing with issues. And on the issues he's been dealing with lately, as you said, full leftward tilt, he's probably to my liking. On the other hand, I do believe there are an awful lot of people who by this time just don't like him. Let me give you an example. I was talking to a teacher just yesterday, and the teacher said, well, the union has made their peace with him because he got really damaged when he took on all the teachers in New York State. But I don't know, said this teacher, another teacher who will vote for the guy because he tried to do so many negative things to us. That speaks to personality. It doesn't speak necessarily to policy.
It also speaks to trust a little bit, doesn't it? I mean, you're saying that you like the leftward tilt now, but I'm sure that you don't trust it because you've seen him go the other way when it serves his political interests, right? So you don't have any confidence that it's going to continue if he gets reelected. And you've also seen the way that he plays, you know, kind of plays the Senate Democrats for fools. And he is what he needs to be at the moment. He's a kind of a chameleon politician. Which I guess they all are to a degree, but it's a little bit more obvious in his case.
Well, let me give you one example that really is of some trouble to me. It's his relationship with the state controller, Thomas DiNapoli. Now, here he is. He has these guys around him. Turns out, at least according to the U.S. attorney, these guys were ripping it off for personal help to themselves. One of them has actually turned state's evidence, is already cooperating with the government. And yet, he, Cuomo, took away from that controller the right to look at some of the deals that were being made, which is the controller's job because they were being made with not-for-profits, and they took away that responsibility. When his guys got caught with their hands in the cookie jar, he then turns around and says, well, I'm going to correct that by appointing some of my other guys to look at these other guys. I mean, to me, this is really off the wall.
Well, I think he's able to take advantage of the fact that not a lot of people pay very close attention to state government, especially in, you know, the big population center to the south. So they see the big splashes that he makes and they don't pay attention to this kind of the little nitty gritty stuff or the corruption stuff or when he says those people who got into trouble or had nothing to do with me, you know, people aren't paying close enough attention to know that that's not true. In my opinion, it is.
Chris Churchill, does that hurt him? In other words, if there's a trial, and there are many people who think there will be a trial now, and Cuomo's name comes up, and the two closest guys to him, or at least one is the very closest, he calls him his brother, the other one was a very close aide for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Does that hurt him?
I would hope so. Wouldn't you? I mean, I would certainly hope so. But again, it depends on how much people are paying attention and B, who runs against him. You know, I've said in a few columns, I really hope that Chris Gibson would run because I think he is somebody who could exploit that issue. But I don't know that some of the other people who are out there will be able to as effectively.
For those people who are listening, Chris Gibson is a retiring congressman. He said he was only going to serve a couple of terms. He did. He kept his word. A man of integrity. He's going to teach at Williams College. But he was really, really looking at the possibility of running. But it doesn't look like the state political Republican establishment wanted him. They want the same old guys. And that, to me, smells of maybe we're all in bed together here, the Democrats and the Republicans, in terms of letting Cuomo get a free pass.
Oh, you might be right about that. I don't know. I'm not sure. There are other people out there who are intriguing. Richard Hanna is somebody who talks about running. I don't know if you've had him on in the past.
Sure.
But he's somebody who's kind of in the Chris Gibson mold, right? I mean, he's somebody who's a Republican, clearly, but somebody who might be able to win in New York State. You know, of course, Astorino's talking about running again, but, you know, who knows?
What's Cuomo's greatest asset? You want my answer before you answer? My answer is his greatest asset is his name. People still think he's a Cuomo. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And they say, well, Mario is good. I like Mario. I love Mario. Therefore, I love this guy. And if you look at his poll numbers, they're pretty good.
Yeah, they are, but not upstate, right? It's a case of, you know, New York City and maybe Buffalo to a lesser extent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those two places are really carrying him, and the rest of the state doesn't really matter all that much. But, you know, New York is like the rest of the country in that you have highly densely populated places that are very, very blue, and then the rest is kind of red. And until he does something that upsets people in, you know, New York City, I it's hard to see how he would lose.
I would agree with that. Let me ask you, though, about the IDC. This is an interesting group. This is the Independent Democratic Conference that has sided with the Republicans. You get a guy like Jeff Klein. Where's he from? He's a Democrat. He runs as a Democrat from the Bronx. And yet, in my opinion, for a few pieces of whatever, he sides with the Republicans and he keeps their conservative agenda alive. And there are many people who think that the governor is just fine with this. Have you thought about all of this?
Yeah, I think the governor is just fine with it. I think it's kind of the divide and conquer technique. You know, I think that he wants to be able to be a conservative when he wants to be conservative, and he wants to be liberal when he wants to be liberal. And as long as there isn't kind of a unified front either way in the Senate, I think that plays to his advantage. But again, you know, the IDC thing, I mean, that's one of the strangest things I think most people who cover politics have ever really seen. I'm assuming you'd agree with that, right? That it's just
I'm
kind of unprecedented. But until people down in New York City pay attention to what's happening, there doesn't seem to be any repercussion for it.
I would think that's right. Most people don't know a thing about it, as you have said earlier, and therefore. But I would say now there does seem to be a group of people, the working families, parties, and others, who are going into their districts and saying, these guys are faux Democrats. They're not really Democrats. I mean, Jeffrey Klein is from the Bronx, and he's the head guy there. The Bronx, of all things. Do you really think he's a Democrat, or is he keeping... Right now, there's a millionaire's tax on the table as we speak.
Yeah.
The Assembly naturally wants the millionaire's tax. The Senate, naturally, you know, populated by Republicans and people of a little bit more wealth, say, no, we don't want a millionaire's tax. Well, it's going to be guys like Jeffrey Klein who are going to make sure that this thing may fail. Now, I suspect we're going to have the millionaire's tax because it's the only way we can balance the budget. But somebody's got to call these guys out, don't they?
Yeah, but you can see why that plays so well to Klein's advantage, though, too, right? Because he's in the catbird seat. I mean, he gets to be the deciding factor on all these things, and it's probably a delicious place to be from his point of view. You know, is this what his voters wanted when they sent? I guess in some ways he could argue, well, listen, me being in the catbird seat is great for the people that I represent. You know, I mean, they have a bigger voice in the Capitol than they otherwise would.
He does argue that. I'm sure he argues that. Let me switch to a subject I really like. There are many people in this world I don't like, and they always say about them. Them I don't like. But one I really don't like is Roger Stone, who is a trickster who has always, you know, operated below the surface. And you wrote a review of his new book, and he didn't like it. Can you tell us that whole saga?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I read the book. I actually spent time over the weekend reading the book. I didn't find it to be that informative or that interesting. And actually, you know, the latter part kind of surprised me, because the one thing you can say about Roger Stone is that he is an interesting figure. I mean, he probably could write a pretty compelling book if he really wanted to, but this one wasn't it. It's a book about the 26th presidential campaign, and for those who don't know Stone, he's kind of a shadowy figure who's often associated with certain politicians, but never really out in front of a campaign. He's kind of he's like you said, he's the trickster. He's the one who does the dirty work. And he was associated with the Trump campaign and wrote a book about that association.
He didn't like what you wrote, right? I mean, you got to be flattered. He reads your stuff.
Yeah,
maybe he'll listen to this program and call me up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he didn't like it, or did he? Roger Stone is one of those people who I think goes by the old "all publicity is good publicity" motto, right? I mean, he said the Times Union is the worst newspaper in America, but then he also made sure to include a link to the column. So, you know, he's helping to publicize the thing, the very column that says bad things about him. So he can be tough to read that way. You know, a lot of reporters have met him and I've come away kind of charmed by him. He apparently can be refreshing in person because he doesn't pretend to be what he's not, right? He's a dirty trickster, and he is. And he's not. There are a lot of people in the political world who do this kind of stuff for a living, but then act like they are white as snow. And Stone, to his credit, at least admits that he is a kind of a slime ball.
Speaking of which, let's go to the Trump effect on New York State immigration, health care, and the impact on the state budget. Now, Andrew Cuomo wants to be president, wants to run in 2020, we're assuming, and therefore, in blue state New York, he can't be too nice about his fellow New Yorker, Donald Trump. On the other hand, if Donald Trump decides that he's going to take a big chunk out of Medicaid in New York, for example, which looks very real, it could really throw Cuomo's budget out of whack.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly could. I mean, the governor has kind of it's kind of interesting because the governor was not all that critical of Trump prior to the election. Right. I mean, did you notice that he seemed to he was a Hillary supporter, but not too loud about it. You know, he was kind of like, and he never really criticized Trump all that much. And even today, he doesn't really seem to criticize him all that much by name, although he certainly is kind of positioning himself to be the kind of the liberal alternative to Trump.
I once asked him, Chris, or one of his people, are you likely to run for president? Everybody knows you want to be president. And he said to me, no. Hillary's going to run. She's going to win. She's going to be there for 8 years. It's out of the question.
Right.
Now.
So that makes this an opportunity to.
Right.
Yeah.
So I remember when Papa Cuomo, who, of course, I knew quite well and had a regular program with and wrote a book about. I remember when Papa Cuomo called Walter Mondale a bland breakfast food polenta. This is a guy who obviously could have been, if he gets out of the way, Mario's chance to be president, which, of course, we then learned later on was not in the cards from Mario. So maybe, just maybe, and there's a question mark at the end of this, he thought that if Hillary lost, his chances would be better.
Yeah, but I think I've written in a column that I think the Trump victory is in some ways the worst possible thing for him, right? Because there's a good argument to be made that every president is a reaction to the previous president. So, you know, where Bush was kind of seen as like a simple-minded kind of, how do I want to put this? Obama was a kind of a reaction to Bush. I mean, Obama was the professorial kind of.
Smart.
I'm not saying Bush is dumb, but just the way that Bush talked and the way that Bush presented himself, Obama was a completely different person. And you could say the Bush, being the evangelical Christian, was a reaction to Bill Clinton's scandals and problems and sleaziness. So then you get Obama, and he's the one thing that kind of drives people crazy about him is that he's not emotional. He's not hot headed enough. He doesn't ever seem to get angry. So who do we turn to? We turn to a guy who gets angry over just about everything. Well, it doesn't.
Interesting.
If you think of every president as being a reaction to the previous president, it doesn't make sense that the reaction to Trump is going to be Cuomo, right? I mean, you're not going to replace a loudmouth guy from Queens with another loudmouth guy from Queens. You're not going to replace a hot-headed guy with another hot-headed guy. You know, it seems like the natural reaction would be to go to a smooth-talking Southerner or maybe somebody from out west. I think whatever personality type we have in the White House kind of wears on us. We get tired of it. We want something different. Well, Cuomo's not that different than Trump. when you're, at least on the personality level and the tactics level too. I mean, they're similar guys. It drives Cuomo, I think it drives the Cuomo people crazy to hear that, but I think to someone in Iowa or New Hampshire, you know, they're not going to, the answer to this hot-headed New Yorker is not going to be another hot-headed New Yorker. And no, that's no offense to New Yorkers. it's just the way politics can go.
Hey, Chris Churchill, you are a guy who has talked about a lot of things in that column. You write three times a week. There's a brand new Schenectady Emporium opening, gambling emporium opening.
Is there?
Yeah, because it's on the front page of your paper, unlike anything I've seen for a while.
Yeah, okay. I might have to head over there. I wasn't aware of that. Yeah.
One day I said to Garrison Keillor, who always pronounced it as a program called Writer's Almanac, when he pronounces almanac. So I'm sitting there with him in my office, and I said to him, so why do you mispronounce the word almanac? Almanac, it's almanac. Why do you say almanac? He said, is that right? he of course was playing me, just as you just were. Oh, is there? So okay, is this a good thing for New York to have these gambling casinos? Doesn't this take the milk money away, and doesn't this put the compulsive gamblers at risk?
I'm not sure about the compulsive gambler part of it. I mean, I think there are so many places for people to gamble at this point that you can argue that that's kind of a wash. In terms of this being economic development, I don't think it is. It's going to take money that's being spent somewhere else, and it's going to be spent at the casino instead. You know, I don't think it grows the pie. I think it just kind of slices the pie up a little bit differently. But that said, to pin your hopes for an upstate economic revival on casinos is kind of silly, especially when you see the casinos elsewhere are not doing all that well right now, right? I mean, there's talk about Foxwoods struggling. Atlantic City isn't doing well, but yet there's this rush to build more and more casinos. There's a big one coming in Springfield. Eventually, some of these are just going to fail outright, and you know whether the casino in Schenectady is that succeeds or not. Who knows? That said, though, I do think that the redevelopment of that site in Schenectady is overall a good thing. I mean, you got a hotel there, you got restaurants right there on the water. There is certainly some positives to that. It's just whether the casino part of it survives long term.
Chris Churchill, let's talk about a constitutional convention.
Oh, boy.
You know, I'm old. I've been around a long time. I've seen them come and I've seen them go. And generally, my own theory on this is that the same guys who brought us the New York State Legislature and all that portends are now going to bring us another constitutional convention. It's going to cost millions of dollars. They're going to run it. The same old guys are going to run it, and it's going to be out of sight. I'm wondering your views.
You know what? I haven't really looked at it that closely. I know that it's something that's out there, and I do think there's reason to be skeptical of it the way that you're suggesting. But to be honest, I haven't looked at it closely enough to really know that much about it or to comment on it, really. Yeah, maybe I should. Okay. I'm sure there's a good column there, for sure.
Well, you know, you can take anything you like from this program and just use it and ride with it.
All right, I will.
And so I'm going to go back to Cuomo and a possibility of who could run against them. Now, you've mentioned the same old guys.
Mm-hmm.
Astorino, same old, same old. I've always said you can't beat somebody with nobody. But Mario Cuomo lost to a real nobody in George Pataki. Nobody knew the guy.
Hey, and Astorino didn't do all that badly last time, right? I mean, he didn't get any money from anybody,
right?
Including his own, you know, his friend Chris Christie in New Jersey. Nobody knew his name, and he still got a pretty good, what did he get, 42%, something like that? Does that sound about right?
He did okay. He did okay.
Yeah, he did okay.
But Cuomo now has assembled a war chest of about, I understand, about $22 million. That's
right.
A lot of money.
Right. And that's, I think,
already.
And I think that's the part that scares a lot of potential people off. I actually talked to Chris Gibson about his potential run, I guess it was at least a year ago now. And that was the one thing that, you know, he talked about. You had to get started early. You have to start raising money very, very, very early. And he actually did start. He started for a month or two, and then called it off. So maybe that was ultimately the factor that led to his decision.
On the other hand, sitting up in his tower is Trump. Now, if Trump wants to beat Cuomo, money would not be an issue. In other words, if he could find a, if he could find somebody who was somewhat attractive and hefty and could do a big deal with them, that would be great. But who that someone could be, I mean, I've always felt Bloomberg could clean Cuomo's clock, but Bloomberg has had that opportunity and hasn't taken it. I don't know who else it could be, but there is the possibility that some money could come from the president. And the other issue is, who would be such a person? So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know who that would be. Why would Trump want to do that exactly? I mean,
because he doesn't like Cuomo, and because he wants to put a Republican in the governorship in New York.
Yeah.
That's why he'd want to do it. And so the same old suspects who want to run, you know, have been frankly disgraceful. And I don't see them. I don't see them making a big dent. But I'm wondering about another one, Preet Bharara. Now, that's a fascinating subject. Here's this guy who has put the pedal to the metal on the Cuomo people. The Speaker of the Assembly is on his way to jail, at least according to so far. And so has the head of the New York State Senate. So I'm asking you whether or not it's a possibility that Bharara steps aside and says, okay, enough of this. I'm going to clean things up. I'll run for governor. Any chance of that?
I suppose there's a chance. A chance. It seems a little bit implausible to me. I mean, as soon as somebody runs for office, everybody starts looking at them differently. And I just feel like Preet Bharara would kind of sully himself. And everything that he had done previously would suddenly be suspect. People would see political motivations for it all. And I don't know. And not only that, but is he a big enough name to really mount a successful campaign? And we're assuming he'd run as a Democrat and challenge him in the primary, too, correct?
Correct. Or he could run as a Republican. And it could be the president had reappointed him because, I mean, he's so good. He's got to present a little bit of a threat to the Trump people because he is a man of great integrity.
Yeah.
So that's the Capital Connection for this week. Our guest has been Chris Churchill, a columnist for the Albany Times Union, whose columns are published on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. Thanks so much for being with us, Chris.
Thank you.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.